Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
You sound like you need cheering up. You sounded a bit down in the mouth when I spoke to you just now.
No, not at all. Listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you each and every morning, and I'm thankful that we're able to do so.
So you hadn't put all your money in defence stocks then, and now the tensions have been ratcheted down a bit, then you know you're out of pocket.
No, you were certainly pushing that as a concept and investment theme early in the week.
It was a suggestion.
As you remember, I was talking about the idea of having a balanced portfolio, which would have been the best way to navigate your way through some of the geopolitical uncertainty we've been playing out during the course of the week. It's also a reminder we do get these flare-ups on the global stage. In reality, they tend to be of a shorter time scale and more limited in scope than is originally projected when we see some dramatic headlines, and I think this is probably one of those occasions.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all over, though, is it? Despite what Donald Trump said yesterday, we're still likely to see these sort of proxy-style confrontations across the region for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, the overt attacks, and it's been unusual for Iran to attack and hold their hands up and say they've attacked US assets, and may move back to some of these proxy militia forces that are spread out throughout the Middle East, and alongside that, the potential for cyber attacks. So by no means over, but the global financial market certainly stabilized yesterday after Iran's missile attack did not injure US troops, and that was the key element to it. I think it allowed Donald Trump to take a much more measured approach. If US troops had been injured, then clearly I think we've been talking about a significantly different situation. Iran stating their retaliation had been concluded and they didn't seek war. That suggested or allowed President Trump to summarize that Iran had stepped down. Equities recovered early losses. Gold was down $25 an ounce from its high. Crude prices fell back after the spike we saw on Tuesday night. Remember, Brent was trading $70 a barrel. This morning we're at $65.62. Markets, well, bestly described, and this is a phrase that's been used, uneasy calm, but they are trying to focus on the diminishing risks around trade and Brexit and economic data releases, which suggested a stabilization. In terms of data, Dow was up 161 points yesterday, just up over half of 1%. NASDAQ was up close to 0.7%, new record high for the US technology market. We are looking at a better start on the European bourses this morning. County Corner, FTSE up 16 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 86 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 22 points.
Let's hope there's no late minute snags in the phase one trade agreement then, because that could really set the cats amongst the pigeons.
It could do indeed, and we haven't seen the text around that. Remember, that's due to be signed on Wednesday at the White House. It's apparently going to include commitments from China around intellectual property rights, promising to buy vast amounts of US products. We have seen a slight reduction in some of the tariffs that were implemented, but we need to see a proper schedule around when those tariffs are likely to be rescinded. And then we start to think about the discussion around phase two and what that's likely to mean. America putting lots of pressure on China to change its industrial policy, particularly the funding of state-owned enterprises. So some longer battles to play out in terms of the trade war over the course of 2020.
You just get the feeling, though, with this Iran-USA thing, that there's something we're not being told, don't you? I mean, you know, do you think that Trump's having a sort of private Twitter chat with the Ayatollah, and you can take that target and we'll do that, and then we'll leave it alone for a while, and then you can attack that bit, and as long as it doesn't get too out of hand, everything will be fine?
I'm not sure it's as coordinated as that, one would suspect, but I think there is an element of understanding where the red lines are in terms of putting President Trump in an impossible position where he would have to continue the circle of escalation. As I said earlier, as we were talking, if we'd seen injury, certainly death of US troops, that would have put Trump in a position where he felt he would have had to retaliate, and quite dramatically, and that would have prolonged the hostilities, one would have suspected.
Just staying with this subject just for a moment longer, I mean, the World Bank's issued a report saying that global growth isn't going to be much better this year than last year, and their entire projections could be upset by geopolitical tensions and rising oil prices.
Well, actually, as I said, it was too early to make predictions around those elements in terms of global growth. They are forecasting a pickup in global growth during the course of this year, as we have been as well. Certainly on the back of a better improvement, more from emerging markets than you see, particularly from Europe or from the United States, for example. We have been seeing an improvement in terms of the economic data, and particularly coming through from China as well. China will obviously be a beneficiary if we see lower trade tensions, and that should be good news for the global economic outlook. China accounts for 30% of global growth. So there are hopes that we could see a recovery. India was a poor performer during the course of last year. Hopes that we'll see some stronger performance there. Slight recovery coming through back in Brazil as well. So there is reason to be optimistic around the outlook for the global economy.
There, but I mean, it's a 0.1 percentage increase from last year, which was the worst year for growth since the financial crisis. And the World Bank saying it does depend on substantial improvements in some large emerging in developing economies, which is not a given.
Well, it's certainly not a given, but we know that the economy will be supported by strong labour markets, robust household consumption. Service sector still remains very strong indeed. We've seen PMI services data pretty good across Europe, across the United States, and in China earlier this week. Alongside that, we know central banks are accommodative and governments are increasingly considering fiscal support. So there are a range of factors that suggest growth will be relatively good during the course of this year. But I think we're talking about a grind up to modest growth levels. We're certainly not talking about significant boost to global growth. Certainly less than we saw during the course of 2018. Global economy grew at somewhere around 3.9% there. We think we'll see 3.3% this year.
Oh, well, it's all right as long as house prices keep rising. An Englishman's home is his castle.
The Boris bounce, as it's been called. UK house prices jumped in December, according to Halifax data. Values increased 1.7% over the course of the month, 4% over the course of the year. Average house price in the UK coming in at £239,000. The vote to leave the European Union in 2016, we know, has kept property markets subdued over the course of the past few years. But Boris Johnson's decisive victory may remove some of that uncertainty, as we've been talking about. Still an awful lot of uncertainty around the future trading relationship. May encourage, however, some buyers to come back in. Halifax are forecasting a pickup in transaction volumes and further price growth in 2020, helped by low unemployment, rising wages, low interest rates, which all helps, of course, with the serviceability of debt. Alongside that, the relatively weak sterling continues to attract international investors, as does the supply and demand imbalance.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in 1.31 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.11. Going to get a whopping €1.18 for your British pound today.
Has the palace been on to you yet, asking if you'd like to step into to Prince Harry's shoes and take on the royal duties?
Piers Morgan is from Sussex and has put himself forward as the idea that he could be taking over that role.
Piers Morgan.
Megxit is the new term that everyone's focusing on. Middle East not so much concerned. Megxit is the debating point of the day.
The world has gone absolutely mad, hasn't it?
It feels that way.
Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.